very good evening, Zimbabwe. Welcome to Live Talk. We're coming to you live from Studio 7 at the Voice of America in Washington this Friday, August the 19th, 2022. I'm your host, Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Tonight on Live Talk, we are continuing with our coverage of the situation in Kenya following a disputed election result that named Deputy President William Ruto as the winner of the closely contested presidential race. Mr. Raila Odinga trailing is disputing the results. All eyes and ears are waiting to see when exactly Mr. Odinga will take his dispute to the courts. In the meantime, President-elect Ruto is continuing to set up his administration. VOA's Juma Majanga in Kenya files this report.
Ruto William.
In the wake of Kenyan elections, current Deputy President William Ruto was declared president-elect after earning 50.5% of the votes. But his main rival, former Prime Minister Raila Odinga, who received 48.9% of the votes, has refused to concede. The fight now shifts to the country's highest court, where Odinga and his Azimio la Umoja One Kenya Alliance hope to overturn the results. Odinga is alleging voter fraud, and legal experts say the court will be looking at the evidence.
You must appreciate that to subvert or sabotage the will of the people is both criminal and borders on treason. It is extremely serious. But that is just what is being said on media.
There must be tangible or material discrepancy. The same must be proved satisfactorily, and it must be demonstrated that it would have changed the outcome of the case. If those three ingredients do not line up, then you are unlikely to be successful.
Four of the seven election commissioners, all of them appointed by Odinga ally President Uhuru Kenyatta, have disowned the presidential results by the commission's chairperson, Wafula Chebukati. Lawyers say that will provide impetus to a petition challenging the outcome, even as local observers under the umbrella of Elections Observation Group give the poll a clean bill of health.
When you look at the Constitution of Kenya, the commission means the commissioners. And also the commission can mean the commissioners and the secretariat. But you agree that neither the commissioners nor the secretariat can do anything unless they are assisted by the entire staff. So there's nobody really left out.
We have not seen anything that would warrant a petition of this nature. However, we remain open to the fact that there could be something.
The Kenyan constitution allows anyone to challenge the presidential election outcome at the Supreme Court within 7 days of the announcement of the results. Such a petition will be heard and a verdict issued within 14 days of filing. If the Supreme Court upholds the outcome, the new president is sworn in on the 7th day after the verdict. If the election is nullified, a repeat election is conducted within 60 days after the verdict. Kenyans' views vary about Odinga's decision to challenge the election outcome.
A lot of irregularities and irregularities. Yeah, so we go back to election or we recount it.
We are urging the court this time to give justice. And justice we mean if somebody won the election, just give him his victory. Don't tell us again to go back to elections, because this will be now taking us back.
Kenya has been lauded for conducting a fairly peaceful election so far. As the battle over the validity of the results moves to the highest court, Kenyans are hopeful that peace will prevail. Juma Majanga for VOA News, Nairobi.
Meanwhile, a U.S. congressional delegation is in Kenya to monitor the situation on the ground. The delegation leader, Chris Coons, in an AP report says he was encouraged by the way both the winning candidate, Ruto, and Odinga, who is hoping to contest the result in court, are currently dealing with the situation.
was certainly a hope that I expressed today in talking with him, that there would be a peaceful transition of power. I commend that he is respecting the Constitution and leaving office after two terms. We talked some about the important role he has played regionally to help with negotiations in the DRC, to help with negotiations in Ethiopia, and I encouraged President Kenyatta to think about ways after his presidency concludes where he might continue to play a constructive regional peacemaking role. It is my understanding that Raila Odinga is going to file a court challenge to the election outcome, and I was encouraged to hear from the Deputy President a commitment to respect the process and to continue to call for reconciliation. In a recent speech he gave at the BOMAS, he said, I hope to be a president for all Kenyans and to not pursue any political retribution. Prime Minister Odinga also said today that he's calling for his supporters to be calm and to respect the process. The United States has a long and deep relationship with Kenya. We support a lot of public health and development and economic partnerships. In particular, here in Kibera, this Tabitha Medical Clinic is one that was started through a connection, a friendship between an American from North Carolina and a nurse who was from here, from Kibera. I have advocated for funding for this program so that we better understand what is happening in public health here in Kibera and around the world.
That was U.S. Congressional Leader Chris Coons speaking in an AP report. Nasi muchirongwa chedu tirikuenderera mberi tichitarisa sarudzo dzemuKenya idzo dzoita mutauro wakanyanya mushure mekunge vaOdinga avo vanonzi vakakundwa navaRuto vati havasi kutambira zvakabuda musarudzo idzi. And now for perspective, we are joined by our guest David Siampondo of the Citizens Coalition for Change in North America. A very good evening and welcome to Live Talk, Mr. Siampondo.
Good evening, Sister Marvelous, and good evening to our viewers.
If you can just give us your take on what we're seeing developing in Kenya at the moment.
Right. It's a mixed observation that I have in as far as the Kenyan situation is concerned. Firstly, we have witnessed a process which is all-encompassing, and that have displayed a maturity in terms of their democracy, where their run-up to the elections, you find out that it was generally peaceful, and there were no instances of violence, there were no political persecutions from mainly both sides, which were competing between the declared President Ruto and the losing candidate Raila Odinga. So I think that's a very good sign of the way elections, I mean the pre-elections, can be handled. Then we are seeing and witnessing as well accusations of rigging, and we are seeing how they are approaching their processes, which also shows in some way a maturity as well in terms of following processes without violence, without retribution. So basically it's a mixed feelings, and but the observation all points to a mature democracy in the run-up to elections.
Mm-hmm. Tombo pinda murumirwa mai kuti imi mungati zvii zvingadzidzwe neZimbabwe takatarisa mafambisirwo akaita sarudzo dzemuKenya uyezve nekubuda kwaita zvakabuda musarudzo nezviri kuita vakakundwa nevari kunzi vakakunda.
Right, zvidzidzo zvinobva kuKenya Zimbabwe zvaingakwanise kudzidza ndezvekuti zvinokwanisika kuve nesarudzo pasina mhirizhonga. Zvinokwanisika kuva nesarudzo pasina kusungana kana kupondana kwemapato anenge achikwikwidzana. Zvinokwanisika kuti munge muine sarudzo apo opposition inenge ichiwanikwawo ichibuda mumaredhiyo nezvivhitivhiti zvenyika pasina kunyararadzana kana kunyimana mukana wokuti vamwe vabude panzi pama TV wayo uye nepama radio. Then also zvinokwanisika kuti anenge akundwa apiwe mukana wekuti atsvake kana kuti aende kumatare anonokwidza nyaya yake ikoko pasina kuvhariridzwa, pasina anenge achimumisa kana kumusunga asati aita zvaanenge achida kuita, uye kuti matare ave anoremekedzwa, uye kuti matare ave anokwanisa kunge ari iyo mutongi gava anovimbika pakati pemakakatano anenge aitika.
Mm-hmm. I understand that we also have our other guest, Kudzai Samaita, a Zimbabwean based in Canada, who we're going to take just now if he's on the line so that he can give us his take in Ndebele as we move on with the program. Tonight, as you can see, we're continuing to discuss the Kenyan election, and we are hoping that we will have our guest, Kudzai Samaita, who will give us the Ndebele version. Good evening, Kudzai Samaita. Is a Zimbabwean in Canada. Give us your view in Ndebele of what we're seeing developing out of Kenya at the moment.
Into eyenzakala eKenya, ngiyabonga sisimavelas ngokungamukela esihlelweni, ngibingelele bonke ababukeleyo labalaleleyo. Kuyize into eyenzakala eKenya ngale, akusiyo into enhle ikakhulukazi kithi njengabantu beAfrika ngoba njalo nxa kusiba lama elections abantu kabasuthiseki ngama numbers aphuma kuma elections. Isikhathi sonke nxa kusiba lokhetho eAfrica kumele kube khona ukulwa, kumele kube khona ingxabano. Into yona le iyasiyangisa thina njengabantu baseAfrica ngoba kusho ukuthi siyehluleka ukuthi sikhethe abakhokheli bethu, abantu abazasisebenzela, siyehlule ukudinga iziphatha amandla njengabantu ngoba sonke isikhathi nxa kusiba lokhetho imiphumela yangkhona isala ingayamukelekanga ebantwini. IKenya yake yaba lama elections ngiyakhumbula ngo-2002 uMwai Kibaki wadlula uRaila Odinga, kodwa kwaba lokulwa futhi kwaya ngo-2007 nxa ngaphambanisi baba futhi lolunye ukhetho, kwaba lokulwa kwachitheka igazi. Okusho ukuthi kathesi futhi eKenya nxa bengavumelani ngemiphumela yokhetho, kusho ukuthi into yona le yinto embi ezahlala ikhona eAfrika okumele ukuthi ngabe siyayigwema singabantu.
Mm-hmm. And also moving forward, what do you think Zimbabwe can learn and take into the next election from what we're seeing happening in Kenya? Kudzai, if you can continue in Ndebele again.
So, engingakutsho lapha ukuthi njengoba sibona ukuthi eKenya balezikhalazo abavumelani lemphumela yokhetho, bayakhala ngokuthi ukhetho aluhambanga ngendlela enhle. Ngicabanga ukuthi amabandla aphikisayo eZimbabwe abahle bekhangele isikhathi sisasekhona ukuthi izinto ezingahambanga kuhle eKenya kuyini, ngoba njengakhathesi nje eKenya bayakhala ukuthi imedia kayizanga yaba available kuye wonke umuntu, lezinto ezinjalo, konke lokho okungabe kusetshenzisiwe ukuze kutshontshwe amavote. Ngicabanga ukuthi amabandla aphikisayo kwelaseZimbabwe abahlala bekhala ngokuthi ukhetho lutshontshiwe, kumele ukuthi labo bekhangele ukuthi kuyini lokho kwenziwe eKenya okungagcina kusenzeka eZimbabwe. Into eqakathekileyo kakhulu ngama-elections aseKenya ukuthi sonke isikhathi izinto eziyenzeka eKenya zigcina seziyenzeka eZimbabwe. Singakhumbula ngo-2007 ukhetho lwaba luhambanga kuhle, kwaba lobuhixihixi, babulalana abantu, bagcina sokusiba le-Government of National Unity. Lathi ngomnyaka olandelayo ngo-2008 siZimbabwe lathi saba lokhetho, saba futhi lakho khonoku kuzamazama komhlaba, kwachayanwa, kwabulawana, that sagcina sesisiba le-Government of National Unity. Therefore ngithi mina ama-opposition parties yethu awaseZimbabwe lawo kawananzelele, ngoba phela umntwana kamakhelwane nxa ngabe kukhuzwa umntwana kamakhelwane intandane isuka ilalele ifunda khonapho.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, there, Kuzai. Please stay on the line, and we will come back to you as we move on with our program. And I know that Mr. Siampundo is also waiting, so please also stay on the line, and we will come back to you as we move on with our program. Now, let's take a short break. Don't go away, and we'll be right back. For those that have just joined us, please note that we are streaming live on all our Facebook pages, so please visit VOA Shona, VOA Studio 7, and VOA Ndebele. We're also live on YouTube at VOA Zimbabwe. Meanwhile, the Mnangagwa administration's mantra of Zimbabwe is open for business has often been questioned by analysts as the country's economy continues to decline. Vice President Constantino Chiwenga yesterday presided over the reopening of the refurbished cold storage company CSC Boosted Beef Zimbabwe. Let's hear what Deputy President Chiwenga said at the event.
The livestock growth plan 2021-2025 is one of the five pillars of the agriculture and food systems transformation strategy. It envisages growth in the livestock subsector to $1.9 billion by 2025. From the current $900 million through a host of interventions that include improved nutrition, animal genetics, animal health, farmer knowledge on best management practices, and access to high value domestic and export markets. You have already heard it, that this company and the other companies which we are going to open in Masingo, Chinoy, Marondera, they will be exporting beef and meat, because we will be exporting both beef, mutton, goat meat, pork, chicken to all over the world. Who pays well will eat the good Zimbabwe beef and Zimbabwe good meat.
That day was Deputy President Chiwenga in a report by Studio 7's Ezra Sibanda. We also spoke to Nick Havercroft, the owner of a Boosted Beef Company, which has taken over the running of CSC Zimbabwe for the next 25 years.
Say, tell us your name and who are you at CSC?
My name is Nick Havercroft. I'm the main investor into the CSC, which is the cold storage company. My company is called Powerstead Beef. It's a group of companies. The established all over the world in various sectors. And we, after the change of regime here, we negotiated with the government to come into a agreement to refurbish all the abattoirs and the ranches belonging to the former cold storage company.
So this is a joint venture between yourself and the government of Zimbabwe?
It's not a joint venture. No.
Yeah.
They've ceded the assets to me for 25 years. So it's misconceived as a joint venture. We have full management control. No interference from government, but we have full support of the government.
Okay. So if it was just like a private company?
It's a completely private company. It's in private hands. It's financed privately.
A lot of people ask questions that are looking at the way things are in Zimbabwe and then you're coming here to invest. What can you say to them?
Well, I've worked in Zimbabwe for 40 years. I was a farmer. I lost my farms, but I'm still here. That didn't stop me. When I lost my farms, I built up a very large and successful tobacco company. Not just originally started in Zimbabwe, but I took it internationally. When things changed here, we saw the opportunity, and I knew the cold storage company was a very good opportunity because the demand for beef and protein is continuously rising. Most of our beef, or all of our beef, is organic here. It's free range. That's a selling point. We're doing grass-fed beef. We're not putting any maize into our cattle. The business model doesn't work. Our maize is artificially priced. It's $300 a ton. So to feed 5 kgs of maize to a cow to convert to 1 kg of beef, you're throwing money away because the beef is not worth as much as 5 kgs of maize. So we only do grass-fed beef.
CST used to own some farms before. Do we have the farms as well where you can breed cattle there?
Yes, we do. I'm not into the breeding. I have partners who are doing the breeding because the job's too big. The ranch is close on 1 million acres of ranches. I can look after 1 million acres. So we've got strategic people to come on there. They lease it, but the condition of the lease, the agreement is, they fix it at their cost, but they put up a feedlot for the community. So they have to, instead of charging rent, build me a feedlot so I can bring in the communal cattle, feed it for them, microfinance that, then bring it into here. The farmers get in a better deal. Some of my ranches have asked the community to become my tenants, because they normally, in a drought, they were invaded anyway. So let them stock the ranches with their cattle, because I'm going to do that anyway. But we have the feedlots. Then they become my management and my police force at the same time. So we're sharing the land with the community.
Yeah, you're sharing with the community.
I'm not keeping it for myself.
Oh, okay.
It's political, as you know.
Right. You were intending to export beef before. How many do you think you float up a day here?
Here we have a capacity of about 1,000 head per day, and we have the orders for that. Both regionally,
the regional
market is very important. We've had inquiries from Malta, from Norway, from Hong Kong, from the Middle East. We have Chinese meat inspectors here as we speak. We don't have the license. This country's never exported to China, but the meat inspectors are here because the demand is so high. The Caribbean want our beef. England want exclusivity. I will never give anyone exclusivity for obvious reasons, but they've been here, they want the beef. The demand is very high. We used to export to the European Union 9,000 tons, but Angola requested 80,000 tons. So the order
you'll be busy. I heard you talking about that you'll be opening some in Mashingu in other areas. Is this CSC all over the country or is it just here in Bulawayo?
No. We have an abattoir here. This is the biggest one. And we have a small abattoir here for goats and sheep. Mm. Sheep, 1,000 head there. So Mashingu is our next port of call. So we're going to be doing 500 head at Mashingu. When Mashingu is up and running, we'll go to Chinoy. But Chinoy would take quite a long time because it's not in a very good state. This one we could fix, Mashingu we can fix. Chinoy is a challenge, but we took on the challenge. And hopefully we'll be successful.
You are creating employment here in Bulawayo. How many people do you think you employ here now?
At the moment, because we're only getting over COVID, we're on to about 140 people. Not just here, but on the ranches as well. We've refurbished 2 ranches. It's finished.
In full capacity, employment?
5,000 head of breeding cattle on one ranch, but that's with a partner of ours. Like
right.
I say, my business model is not breeding. I can't tie up finance for 3 years breeding. Our business model is a feedlot with the community. That helps the community and it guarantees me supply. That's a smarter business model than trying to breed
I can't breed enough cows. I need 350,000 head a year to slaughter.
Okay.
I can't create. I need $500 million.
Right. No, I want to thank you so much. In terms of investing here, so you'll be here for 25 years.
25 years, and we have an option to extend that agreement if we want it, which I'm sure we will do that. We'll pass it on to maybe my kids and maybe other managers' kids. It certainly won't be me in 25 years.
We'll still be here.
I'll have eaten too much beef by then.
Thank you very much, Walter.
Okay, thank you.
That there was the Studio 7 reporter Ezra Sibanda speaking to Nick Havercroft, the owner of Busted Beef Company in Bulawayo. And now for Perspective, we're joined by our guest, Masimba Kuchera, an economic analyst. Good evening, Mr. Kuchera.
Good evening, and how are you?
I'm good. How are you? You heard there what has been going on in Bulawayo, the reopening of CSC. Give us your take. Does this mean Zimbabwe is now open for business?
Well, I think there are two issues here. Zimbabwe has always, I think, theoretically been open for business. We have a lot of people doing business in Zimbabwe. However, I think what has not been clear is the policy when you look at how we handle investors. I personally believe that we seem to have a liking toward foreign investors rather than our local investors.
Mm-hmm. So, Mishidaro, Motore Nation.
Mukatarisa nini na foreign investors anopiwa ma incentives mukatarisa kumaini mukatarisa kana iko ku agriculture wanopiwa ma incentives akati wandei vachikurudzirwa kunzi vauye kuzoisa mari dzavo munyika munomu asi mukatarisa mabusiness emunyika munomu zvaanonyanya kuwana zvaanopiwa nehurumende zvishoma takataricha nemabhizinesi ekunze kwenyika yet tinoona kuti kune mabhizinesi ari munomu anoita kuti nyika inge ichifambira mberi zvakanaka saka panenge pachidiwa kuti tinge tichitarisisa kuti mabhizinesi edu isusu atiri kusapota zviri kuitwa neava vabva kungirande ava yebhif ava zvakasingakwamisi here kuitwa nevamwe vanhu vari munomu mindiro inokwanisa kunge itoverisi zvinokwanisa kuitwa nevanhu vari munomu asi nekuti kudzei vari munomu amwe maincentives neamwe maconcessions ari kupiwa nehurumende vanenge vasingawani.
Mm-hmm. Hold on there, Mr. Masimba Kuchera. Let's turn now to our Skype guest, Kudzaisa Maita, who's in Canada for a perspective in Ndebele, before we wrap up with Mr. David Siampondo. Mr. Samaita, are you still there?
Yes, ngikhona dadewethu. Ngiyabonga kakhulu. Into engingaqala ngokuyitsho ukuthi i-CSC ikakhulukazi ebantwini bakobulawayo omthwakazi siyakwazi ukuthi CSC yayiqasha abantu abaningi kakhulu nxa ngingaphambanisi close to 5,000 people ababesebenza ku-Cold Storage Commission. Ngiyakhumbula abantu babehamba ngenyawo sibili abahlala kubo Nkulumane Tshabalala Sizinda babehamba ngomgwaqolwana kwakusathwa ngu-London Road usiyafika ko-Beaconhead besiyasebenza khona laphana e-CSC. So siyathaba kakhulu nxa sibona ukuthi i-CSC isiphenduka kodwa ngithanda ukuvumelana lo mkhulumi okhulume ngaphambi kwami ukuthi into ebuhlungu ukuthi i-government yethu ayilalo ithemba ebantwini baseZimbabwe ngoba phela into yokuqala okumele ukuthi ngabe iyenzeka.
I'm gonna have to cut you off there, unfortunately, Mr. Samaita, because time is not on our side, and that brings us to the end of our show. We'd like to thank all our guests and of course you, the viewers and listeners at home. Will be sure to tune in again tomorrow, but remember our regular radio shows are on 7 days a week. I'm Marvelous Mhlanganya in Washington saying have a very good night and a good weekend.